Okay. Podcasting on JerusalemCast.com.
Yeah. So, we are on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Reb Tzvia, Reb Nathan, hope you're going to join us on JerusalemCast.com for the rest of this year. Can you pick that up on the ship?
You
never know.
Is that live when you're doing it
now?
No, I edit it, then I put it on the person. I put it on, but it's easily downloaded, so it's a step about 144K per second. It's 48K per second. So it's a quick download. Still same quality.
Okay, we're on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. 17A, towards the bottom of the page. Let's have a look exactly where. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Three lines up from the bottom, middle of the line. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein Moshivin B'Sanhedri Ela Ba'alei Koma. We don't appoint to the Sanhedrin Ella, only those who are ba'alei koma, men of height. I don't exactly know what height, whether that would count me out.
Stature.
Could be stature. But let's see the rest. Men of koma, ba'alei chokma, men of wisdom, ba'alei mal'eh, men of appearance. Let's have a look, what else? Ba'alei zikna, men of age, right? They've got to get to a certain age, old age. Ba'alei kashafim, and people of witchcraft. We'll come to that one in a minute. But let's just start with the other ones. So, apparently, the Sanhedrin weren't very PC. And we actually appoint leaders of Am Yisrael according to what they look like. Don't tell Mishpacha magazine, they won't like it. Right? But it's true. Shalom, Rabbi Abraham. You good? Everything's okay?
Maybe the
Kappa, so
it doesn't mean they have an ugly face, right?
So, no, appearance meaning many that they don't.
They have to look clean, no? Maybe so, it just means they have to look clean.
So here Rashi says, well, we just find one of the... Ba'alei koma v'mar'eh. Rashi... Here, I don't know if Rashi has a different text, or he just kind of brings them two together. Because that's not how normally Rashi, the beginning of Rashi, is the text of the Gemara. But we have, our text is Ba'alei koma, Ba'alei chokma, Ba'alei mar'eh. And so we've just got here in the Dibor Amatzchil, Ba'alei koma u'mar'eh. So
it seems to be a... His Gemara is different.
No, but that's so. Either you want to say here his Gemara is different, and he doesn't have men of Chokhmah, for example, or that's not a requirement. Or we're just saying that the fact that Koma and Mar'er both have the same quality, which is why Rashi is commenting on them together. And what's that quality? Sheh Tehei Ematan Mutelet Al Habriyot, that the awe will be over the person.
They need to be like Shaul.
Or inspired.
Like right.
Someone to look up to. Someone that you would respect. If he's a short, fat guy. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's all bad human nature.
Or the corrupt, immoral, nepotistic members of the High Court of Justice. Or
no, but here we're not talking about me, Doc. Here we're just talking about what you look like. What you look like is important.
They're fat, they're ugly, and they're old. And I'm just talking about the women.
Thank you. So, with those criteria, they wouldn't make it onto the Sanhedrin. They wouldn't make it to the Sanhedrin. So, it's interesting to note. So then we came to the interesting one, Ba'alei Kashafim. They have to be Ba'alei Kashafim, masters, or acquainted with at least, witchcraft. Why?
So they can convict someone of witchcraft.
So two reasons. One is so that they can convict someone of witchcraft, exactly. If you don't know what witchcraft is, and someone comes along and says, I saw this guy and he's waving his hand, he's waving a black cat in the air. I tell you, one of your cats. He's raining Krishi in the air. And Tom, is he doing witchcraft or is he doesn't like cats? Who knows? Right? I have to know what witchcraft is in order to sense him. So that's one reason. The other reason is perhaps a little bit more interesting even than that. And that is, so that actually when I convict them, I can prevent them from getting out of the punishment through their witchcraft. Right, witchcraft. Witchcraft is not just some dumb thing where you're an idiot. What are you doing? How can you think that waving a cat in the air is going to help anything? But actually, no. Witchcraft has power. Unfortunately,
it's the dark side.
Has dark side power. There is, right? The magicians of Mitzrayim. We come across them in Mitzrayim. Come across them other places.
India.
Talk about nowadays, right? They have the ability to do stuff. Right.
Such as levitation
in the heart, through using negative energies, negative forces, which Hashem put into the world. Right, this against this I created. Hashem says I created zot lumat zot. It's that everything has its counterpart. Everything has its counterpart. Right, you need what they would call in Star Wars terminology, balance in the force. You need, for every Darth Vader, you have a Luke Skywalker. I hate to use such terms that I have, Dil, but Tov, we understand what we're talking about, right?
No, but
there needs to be...
In quantum physics, you have the same thing.
Because quantum physics was created by God, right? Every action has the opposite or equal reaction, right? The more you pull back there. So, anyway, Yossi, so too, that it just through speaking holy words, you can do stuff, right? It's said that... The goyim. We're talking about the poop. So let's bring him back in for a moment. Their yoshki, yimashmo, right, walked on water. Right. So our sages agree with him. Yeah, he did. So what happened? So he walked on water by using witchcraft that he learned in Egypt, says in the Gemara. And then our sages came along, used a word of Hashem, and flew above him. I think this is in the Midrash, Rav Jor said it. So,
Eliezer.
And urinated on him from above, and that caused him to lose his ability to. He fell in the. Right? There's a holy way of doing it, that you can. There's a holy way of doing it. Number two even. Top.
He
said two? Oh, top. Top. So one or two? Right, top. Anyway, one of them. So, there is. Is this, should we turn off the tape? What is this?
No.
He stunk then sunk.
Okay, how about modern times? The Baba Sali. The Baba Elisar.
Yeah, but they're using good.
They're using good.
Nachon, but there is also the ability, Baruch Hashem, as we see that we no longer have a Baba Sali. We have people, we have those who can do still, but they're very much more hidden. The fact that we have less and less good sources of supernatural activity also means that there's less and less bad. Right? It's much weaker. In the past, when they used to be able to do all that stuff, there was a lot more wise, holy men that could do a lot of stuff, and right. And
I mean, now they have people practicing black magic and voodoo.
Yeah, but they don't. Baruch Hashem, they don't know what they're doing, and even those who think they know what they're doing can't really connect because the power is
yes,
it's
such as Michelle.
Not really
Obama.
Available. But
Rabbi Kazuto said that in the Gemara talks about our Yeshua took the Zohar, wrote it down, and he inserted it inside the pocket of his skin, and he gave him certain powers to fly.
He
took the names of Hashem.
See, no. So the Gemara says that that he went down to Egypt to learn black magic, and but they don't allow you to take anything out of Egypt. So he couldn't take out any papers. He couldn't take a file of notes. So he wrote it all on his skin, tattooed it on his skin. The secret words, or whatever, the potions, three part. toad, two part frog, I don't know, whatever. You need to brew for the, right? So he tattooed it on his skin. So anyway, so in this question, that so one of the, so why did they need to learn witchcraft? So one reason is so that they know how to convict you that you actually did what you were, what's called witchcraft, and you didn't do something that was just benign, right? You don't get convicted for doing something benign. The second thing is, if they try to get out of it, they will be able to stop them. So that's, so we can bring in also a story about Yoshiki, that when the, we did kill him, it's true. We did kill him, it's true. So I'm not embarrassed to say it. Right? The sages tried him for, on various counts, heresy and using black magic and all the other stuff that he was doing. And he was found guilty. So what do? He was hung.
It's fine.
So
he had, so what did they do? They hung him on a banana tree in the end. Why did they hang him on a banana tree? Because he made witchcraft that no tree in the country, he knew he was going to be hung. He made witchcraft that no tree in the country could hold him, would be able to hold him. So they hung him on a banana bush, and everyone who knows Gemara Brachas knows that a banana is not a tree. It's Adama.
It's a stalk.
Right? So they hung him on a banana bush. So if you go up to Tiberias and you look for some banana trees up there, you might find the right one.
Was it Tiberias or Spot?
Somewhere up north. Yeah. Top. Okay. So that's the Sanhedrin.
But I mean, nowadays we have modern miracles.
Nahon, we even have supernatural miracles, but they're a lot more hidden. Right? Even the stories of the stories that we hear from the Rav about driving on a empty tank of petrol is because you cover up the petrol gauge, and as soon as you take that off, it doesn't work anymore.
Or the miracles at Hadassah Hospital, or Sharon Zedek.
Okay, yeah, or the medical miracles too. That's fine. But the miracles in our days have to be hidden. Right, one of the reasons they have to be hidden is because we have to retain free choice. You can't have an open miracle that has no other possible explanation. You need an other possible explanation, even if it's so unlikely, in order to give a person free choice to say, I think I'll go with that really unlikely choice. Because it could have happened, could be. Right, could have been that the one, that 39 bombs fell and blah, 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 and only one person got killed, and not even from a bomb.
And
so you have to have the ability to say that even though I can go to a store and buy a $50 GPS system that can get me exactly to the front door of any house I choose in the world, that that those who make the billion-dollar technology on the bombs in Iran and send them over to Hezbollah can't stick a GPS system that gets them anywhere other than in the middle of the field, right? So I can tell myself that. It's impossible. It's possible that all the GPS just didn't really work. It was going too fast, and the wind going at that altitude knocked out the superconductor. Right? It could be. So I have to have another alternative to allow me free choice to believe in God.
But a case in point is, they interviewed the commander for Hamas, who is in charge of all firing all the missiles.
Yeah, he doesn't need free choice. Hey, he's got free choice because he's just a Russia.
He knows
it's God, but he doesn't care, and he's doing it anyway.
Right.
But that's different. So you see that a lot. You see, when 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whenever it was, when the Bible codes came out. Oh, Bible codes, amazing. All these things you can find. So what did Hashem do? So Hashem got some goy to say, wait a minute, you can also do the same with War and Peace. And you pick any book and you can find a code if you run the numbers up and down enough times. And you're right, you can. But what's the difference? There's huge astronomical difference in the probabilities. You get one word running backwards, sideways, or something in the whole of War and Peace. And in one chapter of Torah, you get 400 words backwards, sideways, right, with the same problem. Right? But because I can do something, I can now say, it's just happens to be.
Like
but for Torah codes.
Like Paro did in Mitzrayim, right? When the whole of Egypt turned to blood, all the rivers turned to blood. And it was huge miracles. So what did Paro's magicians do? We can do the same thing too. We can turn a cup of water into blood. We can't do anything. We can do a cup of water. I can do a cup of water, tough. So it's all, right? All the waters in the whole of Egypt turned to blood, and the difference between the water and the blood, right? Yeah, but we can do something similar, so everything's good.
But there are people that give Torah code classes at the OU.
Uh-huh.
And it's
we
on JerusalemCast.com.
I thought he came here. It was very good.
Yeah.
Good question. Tov, okay. So that's free choice, but wait, today's lesson is not free choice.
Is it a miracle?
Huh? It's a miracle. Well, breathing is a miracle.
But there's a question on that. When Mashiach comes...
Yes.
Hopefully today.
This afternoon. Before the poop comes in.
Will the miracles become open again?
Machloket. Rambam. Rambam says nothing will change, which depends how you understand the Rambam. Rambam says nothing will change apart from the subjugation of the nations. When Mashiach comes, that's the only difference. That leaves us alone. When Moshiach comes, nothing will change apart from the subjugation. I don't know if that's an English word. The control of the nations over Am Yisrael. That will disappear. They'll leave us alone, and we can actually get on with what we want to do.
To
live like Jews, how we want to live.
It's not so when Moshiach, everything comes
from Hashem. So that's a different opinion. So one says it's going to be the same. If that's what Rambam means, that's what Rambam says. How you understand it? The other thing is no. When Mashiach comes, it's right. It's we're talking a whole new ball game. We're in a different world. It's world, Da'at Hashem Malei Olam. The knowledge of Hashem fills the world, and everything's Tchiyat Ameitim. Everything's very different. Well, have to wait and see which one. When he comes, you can ask him. He's going to say, "Well, I'll tell you. They'll tell you they're both right." Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. These and these are words of Torah, 70 facets of Torah, all this, they're all true. We'll just show you why they're true. We'll show you that actually nothing's changed at all. But you just didn't realize that all this was going to go on at the same time, or whatever, there'll be a... Yofi. V'yodim ba'ayin lashon shelo tehen. Ba'ayin lashon. And they should know Ayin Lashon. They should know 70 languages. Why? Shalota Hei Sanhedre Shomat Mipi Hatorgaman. Yofi, look at that. Very nice. Makok. In order that the Sanhedrin should not have to listen through the mouth of a Torgaman.
So it means 70
Vedas,
every person speaking
other language? So it's a question what it means, because we'll see later on in a minute that only two or three actually could speak 70 languages. So it's
all. The
three,
they speak all the
70
languages.
Yeah, so what does it mean here?
I mean, maybe one speaks English or
German. So it's not so clear exactly what it means here. Apparently, the pshat is, to be on the Sanhedrin, you had to know all 70. We're going to see later in the next sugya, just over the page, that a Sanhedrin where two or three people could speak 70 languages was a huge feat.
The question is, what does it mean to know 70 languages? Right?
So while here, know enough that you don't have to use an interpreter.
Yeah.
That's like the level of knowing. Right. Right, so it could mean... No. Right.
But as we learned in the Garden of Peace, the nuances between two languages are immense. You know, for example, there's certain words in Hebrew that we don't even come close to in English.
Nachon, you're right. So if you remember the reason in Makot that we said, what was the reason we gave over there that we don't use a Torgaman?
The
Yafemot, very good, Rabbi Abraham. Right, we learn over there the reason why you need to have a Torgaman is they learn it out from the Pasuk. Pasuk said, Al Pishnei Aden, Shnayim Aden. Yeah, through the mouth of the Aden. Right, the Mishnah said, the end of the Mishnah, Devar Acher. Mishnaic source that says that was a reason. Here, Rashi gives a different reason. Here, Rashi doesn't give that reason for why we need to use a Torgaman. If you look at the bottom Rashi on the page, Mepiha Torgaman, Keshabain Ade Luazin. when foreign witnesses come along, la'id, to testify, bifnehem, in front of them, in front of the court, lo yitzarachu la'amid, you won't need to appoint malitzim bineihem, a middleman, an advocate between them. Why not? Dehavele, because then you will have aid mipi aid. What's aid mipi aid? Aid mipi aid means, colloquially it means, hearsay. Hearsay. You're not lawyers, you don't know what the word hearsay means. Hearsay. Hearsay evidence is in a modern court, hearsay evidence is not, in an English court anyway, hearsay evidence is not allowed. What's hearsay evidence? Hearsay evidence is second-hand evidence, not hearing it from the one who was there. So for example, let's say it's a murder case, and the one who is, who is someone on trial, and I have a witness who said, my friend told me he did it. My friend was there with him, and he saw everything. And he told me they were there, and he did it. He told me he said he was there, and he told me. I can't accept that evidence. It's hearsay. He heard it from someone else. Right? It's removed. So here, that's what Rashi says. The reason you can't have a Torgaman, because you have to have a lay aid mepi aid, a witness from the mouth of the witness. You're not hearing from the witness himself. You're hearing from a witness that heard from another witness. And is now passing it on to the court. It's called hearsay evidence. You're not allowed it. And that's why you can't have it in the Torah.
Same thing. He's explaining what it means. You did it if you can't have hearsay.
Yeah, I
agree. Like, you think explanation for the Pasuk.
Ah, so then we come back to Rabbi Yehuda and the previous thing. Do we go for explanations on Pasuk, or do we just go because the Pasuk said so? Pasuk said so. Al pi eid. Why are you doing it? Because the Pasuk says so. Al pi eid. Why are you having two witnesses? Because it says Al pi shnei eidim. Yeah, but who says you need two? Well, you need two because you need two to corroborate and testify, and one could be lying in that point. No, no, need two because the Pasuk said two. I know why two. The Pasuk says two. So too with Al. You're right. It's also good, and maybe I can also advance you a different reason. That if you don't hear from the mouth of the person himself, you don't know if he's lying. When you listen to a person, you know if he's lying. And if you're listening to someone else who's just repeating it, you don't know if he's telling the truth.
That's Perush Rashi in another place.
Ah. Uh-huh. So that's also
that seems to contradict. I don't know why that contradicts.
Contradicts
what? Necessarily. It's not like what Rashi says over here. It's just a problem.
It's a different reason here. It's not like a contradiction. It's different.
But
I guess you could say we're not worried he's going to lie. We have to hear from the mouth of that the exact end. He says in another place, the problem is maybe he's lying, maybe he's like changing his words around the next year.
Right. Right. And you also don't know if you can trust the Torgerman that he's giving the proper translation. Right? If you're going to convict someone because he says, I didn't do it, and a Torgerman says, blah, 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 blah. Right? Sorry, off you go. Yeah, right, we're going to kill you on the basis of a year, but I didn't do it. But what did he say? Right, plus the witness has no clue what the translator said either, because the witness doesn't speak that language. So he has no clue that he's being translated correctly. I didn't say that. That's not what I meant. Right? That's terrible, right? So there's lots of reasons why not to use a translator.
I don't understand why it says they contradict. Like when you say not hearing from the mouth of it, you have to hear from his mouth, and then they just give a reason. They say not that he's lying.
It says contradict in what? In what's the law of the language?
It says that Rashi gives over a different explanation.
Nahon, but what's the word for contradict? You're saying it's contradicting. He might just saying he's giving another explanation. Another doesn't necessarily mean contradiction. It means additional. Mean additional.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be contradicting.
No, but I mean they're asking like it sounds like weird. Why does Rashi give a different explanation over there?
Okay. So that's a question. It's a question. Why he says different? It's a question.
It's a
question that's a good question to ask. It's not like a dumb question. It's a good question to ask. I don't know what the answer is. But. Okay. Next, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Ein Moshivim, the Sanhedrin. We don't appoint to the Sanhedrin. Ella, apart from Mishi Yodea, Letaher et Hasheret, Min Hatorah. someone who knows how to purify a sheretz from the Torah. Not just purify him from your rabbinically, purify him from the Torah. That's an even stronger thing. Purifying rabbinically, maybe you can come up with a rabbinic heter, whatever, but from the Torah, that I can show you that the Torah proves, by using proofs from the Torah, that a sheretz is tahor. Right? We know that, let's just refresh ourselves. Sheretz, there are 8 types of sheretzim. We don't know what they are. We have different views as to what they might be. A common view is that a lizard was a sheretz. That's one of the most accepted versions, but everything else is pretty much up for argument what the rest of the sheretzim are. So whether they're creepy crawlies, but does that mean an ant? Does that mean a cockroach? A spider? Does it mean a larger animal? Who knows? Top.
Yes,
anyway.
I'm able to learn it here now because it is actually very interesting.
Yeah.
It says, he says, why does Rashi say it different over there? Because over there it's talking about a Beit Din of 3 guys. It says, when there are 3 guys, your chashash is they might lie. Which means really, there really is no problem to hear from what it translates the other guy. I'm not hearing from his mouth.
That's not a problem.
You just have to check that he has Yirat Shamayim. There's Yirat Shamayim and everything's kosher. And so he gives the answer. But he says, and it's in Hidrin Dolan Tanar.
Yeah. We're not worried that he's lying.
I can't hear from the mouth that that is.
But we're not, but we don't have the chashash that he's lying?
More than that, you have to hear from his mouth. I mean, I guess both of them.
But
the other place over there was talking about the from the pasuk. Can we still have the problem with you? Do you learn it from a pasuk? Could you learn it because it's procedurally not a good idea? Is it different? Is it because the Torah said, that you have to learn that you have to hear only from the mouth? That's because it's a Torah pasuk. Or do we say no? Procedurally, it doesn't make sense to learn to hear from anyone else. It's not logical, it's not practical, it's not useful.
I guess they learn from here, it seems that they learn the din on that, and
could be a different view. You might say over there that the Tana and that Mishnah held that it was a Torah Pasuk. But over here, they don't hold it from the Torah.
Maybe I understand differently.
But that's going on the question of the people we're going to appoint, whether he has to be tall and pretty and wizard and wise, and saying over there in that comment is comment on that section which says we're not that debt for the 3-man Beit Din to have all of those things. He's tall and he's wise and he's. But midot, we are a dak dekon.
Right, so you can hear from.
But that's a different question. That's not going on that passage.
No, but you can
hear from midot of the dayanim, not on the. It's not going on the witnesses. That section, that comment that you just read,
no,
is not going on
the
witnesses. Okay.
But all this stuff here goes together, right? I mean, this is.
It's giving
down all sorts of different dins, right?
No, but the comment was.
So what do you say?
So
Edim is no problem?
I'm saying I don't know. I don't have a clarity on that.
Well, it says that Tahir Sheretz, purified Sheretz. Do you to recognize the type that is pure?
No. So he's going to say here now, no, he's going to explain now what he means. It means that that they have to be able to produce an argument, a valid, so to speak, valid Torah argument that you can say that a sheretz is actually tahor. Something that is tameh is actually tahor.
Well, all 8 main sheretz are tameh.
So we're going to see. He's going to bring now an example of Rav giving an example of what this is. So and then we'll see. So how Amar Rav?
We have to remember that the sheretz has a higher level.
Has the highest level of tumah.
It's
not the highest, but it's right just below the
av. Tumah.
Yeah, av tumah. Yefemot. Amar Rav says, "Ani adun va'atar henu. I will present you an argument. I mean, I'm doing this. I will judge and purify it, right? I will show you how to purify a sheretz, right? A dead sheretz, by the way. A live one's fine. If a lizard runs over your foot, you're fine. If you step on a dead lizard, you're not fine. They're only tamei when they're dead. So, anyway, so Rav says, I'll show you an argument as an example. Rav is going to show you of what this argument is that purifies a sheretz from the Torah. He argues like this. Uma nachash shemei mit. You have to pull out your thumb. Uma nachash. You have to be Abraham. You need someone who can sing. You have to have the tamim for the nose. Ma nachash. Right? That's how you... What are you going to say if you have a snake that kills? Umaubeh tuma. And he increases tuma. Because he kills, a snake kills, therefore he increases tuma. When he kills a person, right, dead people give off tuma. So if you have an example of a snake that kills and it gives off tuma and it causes an increase in tuma in the world, the level of tuma in the world just went up every time a person dies. Tahor, the snake is tahor. A dead snake is tahor. A snake is not one of the sheretzim. Proof here, right? A snake is not a sheretz. A snake, he's tahor. If you have a dead snake on the ground, you can pick it up and put it in the bin, in the garbage. It's not a problem.
Didn't he learn that he has to be brought to court?
Huh?
Didn't he learn that he has to be brought to court?
The snake. Depends who you ask.
No, but
Rabbi Akiva says, who was Zoche?
But you can use the hide.
No, the snake is the only one you don't have to. All the other ones, it depends. There was two different opinions whether or not you do, but the snake was the difference. Rabbi Akiva was apparently the same as the Tanakhama. Rabbi Akiva said like the Tanakhama, and then the Gemara says, why is Rabbi Akiva not like the Tanakhama? What's the difference between them? Ma benevu, a nachash. The nachash you never have to bring to court. It's so violent. There's no point even trying to reason with it. He's not going to listen to you. He's going to carry on being a naughty person, right? Snake you can always kill. Right, snake's different. Right,
snake he's had 6,000 years of practice, starting with Eve.
Yeah, he's got a lot of tikkunim to do. Tov. So the snake, right, just like a snake kills and increases tumor in the world, he's still tahor. Sheretz, a sheretz, like dead lizard, sheinomim, that doesn't kill no one, apart from little flies, but it doesn't kill anyone. It doesn't cause an increase in tumor. When it kills a fly, there's no increase in tumor in the world. Eino din, isn't it din? Din here means kal v'chomer, a logical argument. Isn't it a kal v'chomer? Should you hate tahor? It should be tahor. I can show you. If you're going to bring me the snake, and that's tahor, and that's far worse in terms of causing tumor in the world and killing people, right? And that's tahor. For sure, a sheretz, which is much more docile and less of a problem, for sure that should be tahor. Therefore, says Rav, I can show you a proof, a logical argument why a sheretz should be tahor. The Gemara is going to reject it, so don't worry. You're not allowed to rely on that. The Gemara is going to reject it. Velohi,
well,
it's not true.
What about a cat eating a sheretz?
What about a cat eating a sheretz? Cats are not bound by the laws of Tumah. They don't have to worry about it. They're okay.
killing something.
Yes. No, Makot.
Yes. Did they say something there that Rabbi Akiva maybe claimed he wouldn't kill it? He was able
yes.
to find find the sheretz in a person.
Yes, right? Yes, I'm not. So that's what we're going to say here. We're going to say here that why is the Gemara bringing this? To show, just like we learn in Makot, they all link together, these Mishmayim, right? They all fit together, it's the same, right? It's to show that we need to find a Sanhedrin that's going to find you innocent. We learned just before, yesterday, that the role of the Sanhedrin is to try and find someone innocent, right? And if everybody says guilty, we say you're innocent, right? Because we need someone to at least try and find a reason to acquit. Someone has to be able to take a tameh object and make it tahor. Yeah. I know. He ran at him with a knife, shouting, "I'm going to kill you! I'm going to kill you! I'm going to kill you!" And then stabbed him 63 times. But it was an accident, and I'll show you why it was an accident. Right? You have to be able to do somersaults and prove why something that looks tameh is actually tahor. That's what the Gemara is showing you here.
What's
a tzav? A tzav is a turtle, depending on modern Hebrew. What it was back then, who knows? So now it's a tzav.
What's
an
anaka?
Huh? Anaka. Don't know.
Gives all the names.
Different yet for Sheret. Oh.
Yeah.
Lanik. To know. Nothing is a type of animal.
It's a
type of animal.
That's
one view of the Sheret Sim. It's interesting what they like. If you say like a turtle's a Sheret, I mean why? I mean they're just interesting things to pick. I mean we have no sfora, but what's going on there? What's the Torah teaching you? Right? Some things if I was picking Sheret Sim, I would pick evil, disgusting, like cockroaches, spiders, right? Things that are like, icky.
Spiders are dangerous.
But like a cutesy little turtle. It's a turtle. How can you say that's going to cause the worst tumor in the world? It's a little turtle. So, Tom, we don't really know what all that's about. Tom, anyway, okay, so what are we saying? So that's the inyan of the idea that the Sanhedrin has to be able, who cares whether the Sanhedrin can make a Sheret Tahor answered because they have to be able to find the most extreme but valid legal argument in order to acquit someone. Not to make him guilty. They're not trying to make people guilty. They're trying to acquit. Right? They're trying to make a Sheret Tahor. They're not trying to take something that's Tameh and try and prove something that's Tahor and trying to prove it's Tameh. That's not the job. Anyone who can do that, you don't want on the Sanhedrin. Thank you very much. It's very wonderful, but we're not having you. Yep. Like you're the wrong guy for the job.
For the historical case, they let someone off because he was eating Twinkies.
He was eating Twinkies.
And
I don't think they had Twinkies back in the second century.
No, but okay.
I don't know.
The councilman in San Francisco named Harvey Milk murdered.
You're talking about Goyish courts,
right? And they got him off because he was eating Twinkies.
Now they got him off because he paid the judge. And they said that... Anyway.
Tell me, if the Sanhedrin does things that are not so kosher, like we said, let's say they want to... Everyone wants to put a guy...
I don't understand the meaning of that. Everyone say what? Go on.
Everyone wants to put a guy that... Chayav, right? Everyone said everyone in the Bedin wants to make him Chayav.
Yeah.
The guy wants to put Turo.
Yeah.
So who decides that? The Nasi? Or
Abedin? The Torah.
Huh?
The Torah.
No, but who comes and says that like you guys did something wrong? Who sends them home? Who has the Koach?
The Sanhedrin of the 71 are the highest court in the land. They don't. They have to police themselves. There's no one higher. If the Sanhedrin of 71 is corrupt,
the Nasi is not higher than the Nasi is not Bibi. The Nasi is like a big Tzadik.
Don't know. Maybe. But they're ruling according to the majority basis. So if the Nasi holds one way and 69, 70 hold the other way, it's not going to go with him. Because it's their job to do this. I'm not quite sure whether he has a separate job that's just his personal job outside of being appointed the head of the court, if you like. Okay, so the Gemara is just going to reject that argument that we just gave from Rav. Rav says, I'm going to show you a logical kal vachomer why the Sheret should be tahor. And the Gemara says, no, Balahi, it's not true. Why not? Midei dehava akot ba'alma. Midei dehava, since it is like, or since you have a thorn, ba'alma actually, or otherwise, in another case. You also have a kot. You have the case of a kot, a thorn. right? A thorn can also, just like a snake can kill with a bite, not talking about the poison in the bite, but just from apparently, so too a thorn has the same ability to kill, Pshat's level. Maybe it didn't, but so, like nowadays you stick some TCP on it and you shine. But in theory, a thorn has the ability to kill. And that too, for sure, is tahor. And there's no argument on that. So the logic here is that let's read the Rashi explaining the logic of refuting the kal v'chomer. Lav kal v'chomer hu, it's not a kal v'chomer, says Rashi, the second Rashi down. De'ein zeh chomer, because this one's not chomer, you need kal v'chomer. To have a valid kal v'chomer, you need a lenient one and a severe case. And you say, if in the case of the lenient, you have this rule, then for sure in the case of the strict, depends which way you're going in the kal v'chomer, which one you call strict. But if who may mit huma beta huma, if he causes, he kills and he causes tuma, sherei can, because here yeish kotzim, there is thorns, shehem mamitim, that they cause death. And they cause increase in tumah if a person dies. The hemtarim, and they also are tahor. So you don't have a case where. I'm not so clear. You don't have a proper kal v'chomer, you say, because you don't have a chomer in the case of the snake, because it's not a true chomer. A little bit beyond me to read the logic of that, but you can think about that. If anyone wants to give comments or explanations, I'm very happy to hear them. Okay. Next. Amar Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav. Kol ish ein bat shnayim ledaber. Any town which there isn't two people to speak. Ve'echad lishmoa, and one to hear. What are we talking about? So without Rashi, you have no clue what we're talking about. Right? You can maybe work it out from the context, but at the moment it just sounds like no town where you've got two people who can speak and one people who can hear. So let's look at the Rashi. Shnaim ledaber, v'shivim lashon, the 70 languages. Ve'echad lishmoa, one to hear. She'yehei mevin, that he understands v'shivim lashon. FLP, she'eino yodea lahashiv, even though he doesn't know how to reply. So this is the one who can hear and knows how to understand. So what we're back to our case of the Sanhedrin. So now we're saying, before we said you needed to have the ability to know the 70 languages in order to be appointed to the Sanhedrin. Now we're saying that you need to have two who can speak 70 languages and one who's able to understand. Ein Moshivim Vasanhedre. We don't appoint a Sanhedrin. Right? So you see from here, any town that doesn't have 2 plus 1, you can't appoint a Sanhedrin. What does that mean? It means that a town where you do have 2 plus 1, you can appoint a Sanhedrin. Therefore, a Sanhedrin can have a minimum of 2 plus 1. Two people who understand. Sorry, two people who can speak 70 languages and one who can understand. Right? In brackets, we know that from the Megillah Esther, Mordechai, the reason he knew what Big Tan and Teresh were saying is because he could speak 70 languages. Right? He was on the Sanhedrin. He was tough. He was the Gadol Ador. So he was one of those who could. Right, so we need two. So here we need 2 plus 1. Uba Beitar, and in Beitar, where's Yaakov Ben Nachman? In Beitar, Havu Shlosha, there were 3. Chiddush. Right, it's not just a case of the Gemara here providing you with the minimum, but you know it was actually fairly common. I'm just telling you the minimum. Actually, that was. That was pretty good to have 2 plus 1, because I'm going to tell you a chiddush that in Beitar they actually had 3. They had three, but the fact that I'm telling you means that it was a chiddush, not common. You know, if it was an obvious, if most places had 20, 30 people, then I'm not going to come and tell you that, by the way, in Beit Hall they had three.
But there was only one Sanhedrin and 70 people, but there was
23. One Sanhedrin of 71 in Jerusalem, and in all the towns, every town had 23.
So in the afternoon, Beit Hall was 23.
So we're talking in the Sanhedrin of 23, they had three people, three of those who could speak the language. You could speak 70 languages.
Weren't there 8 million people in Beit Hall at the time?
Could well have been. So a lot of people. But they mostly spoke Hebrew.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'll talk about Beit Hall now. I mean, top they had Ruach HaKodesh, but they're talking about that time. Okay. But Yavna, and in Yavna, Alba, four. Holy city of Yavna. Who were those, the four people? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, the Shimshon HaTimini, Dan Lifnehem Bakarka. The fourth one was called Shimon HaTimni. Shedan Lifnehem Bakarka, who judged them by sitting on the ground. Judge in front of them sitting on the ground. Taimani. You want to say he's a Taimani? Top. He goes with Timni here. English art school, Timni.
They have a footnote. He wasn't old enough to be ordained.
Right, that's why he wasn't called Rebbe. He was just called Shimon HaTimni. Wasn't called Rebbe Shimon. Right? Because they were all in Israel, and remember, in Israel they were called by the name Rebbe. Right? So he should have had that. Why was he called Rebbe? He wasn't old enough, Rashi says, to yet receive the title of Rebbe. But he was nonetheless, he was one of those who knew 70 languages. Smart chap, nonetheless.
Rashi says he wasn't a student,
so
he didn't have a title.
Why not? Shelo Balikla Zigna. Because he wasn't old enough. Wasn't old enough. Meaning when he got there, he would be off. Okay. Meitve, a challenge to that from a brighter. Challenging Rav, who's which is Rav's ruling? Sorry, my footnote here says we're challenging Rav's ruling. I'm just trying to see what Rav's ruling is. What did Rav rule? I can't see Rav. Rabbi Huda said in the name of Rav. Sorry. Rabbi Huda said in the name of Rav, two people or what? Two plus one. So we're going to challenge that, Rabbi Huda who brought in the name of Rav. It's a ruling of Rav. That you need to have a minimum of two who can speak and one who can understand.
Every Sanhedrin from 23 have to be...
Have a minimum of two who can speak 70 languages and one who can understand. So Meitve, we're challenging that now in a brighter. Shlishit Chochma Revi'it Ein Lamala Hemena. So we have a brighter now that says Shlishit Chochma Revi'it Ein Lamala Hemena. Three is Chochma, is wise. Revi'it Four Ein Lamala Hemena. Four, you don't get better than that. Four, there's nothing better than that. What are you talking about? So here we're talking about people who can speak the languages. Because this is a challenge to what Rav said. How's it a challenge to what Rav said? So on the face of it, it doesn't look much like a challenge. Right? You're telling me that three is wise, three is really good, wise court, and four, don't get better than four. But wait a minute, Rav said you need a minimum of two plus one, two that can understand. So roughly, Rav agrees with him. Two plus two minimum, three, Chochma. Four, even better. Why is that a contradiction? Why is this brighter contradiction? So we have to understand the Brayta a little bit differently. Shlishit Chochma, Rashi says, Shlishit Chochma, one that has three is wise. Sanhedrin Sheyeshba Shlosha Medabrim. We're talking about a Sanhedrin that has three that can speak the Shivim Lashon in 70 languages. Chochmahi, they're wise. The Keshera, it's that Keshera bit which is the key. The Keshera, and they are kosher. Alma shlosha ba'inin ledaber. Therefore, we see that three is required ledaber to be able to speak the languages. You need three. Here, chokhmah is not just like a good thing. Chokhmah is actually a requirement. In order to make it a kosher baked in, kosher Sanhedrin, according to this writer, you need to have three. It's not simply it's giving you a nice thing. Three is a wise court. But we agree with Rav that two is good enough. No, we're arguing on Rav and saying three is actually the minimum.
I think they judge only the Jews or all the nations.
All the nations. Yeah. Okay, so that's the argument. So how do we solve it? So we solve it like this. Hu de amar, who, that which he said, talking about Rav, the answer for Rav is that which he said, ki hai tana, he is going like a different tana. You're right, Rav says differently. How are we going to explain Rav? By saying he goes like a different tana. You're allowed to have two tanaic of different opinions. Tanaim are allowed to argue with one another. Rav is an amora. Rav can't argue with anyone. Rav can't go against a brighter. If the brighter says something different, we have to go with the brighter. It's a tanaic source. Rav's just an amora. But how do we say that Rav is still good? By saying Rav has on whom to rely. He goes by a different tana. He's got a different tana to rely on. How ki hai tana? He goes like that other tana. The tanya, like it was taught in a different brighter. Shnia chokma shlishit ein lamal hemena. Two are chokmah, and three you get no better than that. So he has a different writer that also allows him to still be good. So we didn't get, on the face of it, we didn't get an answer as to which of those we go by. I'm sure the Rishonim will pass on which one you need as a minimum, but it's either two or three, according to which of those writers you go by as the minimum. So, Adkan. Till Sunday, Bezat Hashem.